The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, A Plate Full of Parsley. Essence CEO Caroline Wanga accentuates power, equity, and authenticity as key ingredients for a new kind of soul food for the sisterhood. I am a staunch ally of justice, equity, and food. All food is my favorite food, so much that on several occasions, I have consumed the garnish that embellishes my plate. My consumption of garnish might be considered gluttonous because it is an addition to my consumption of an entire entree. In contrast, the past 12 months, the year that changed the world, revealed that we all have been dining on the progress humanity has made as if it were a fulfilling meal, not realizing that the unfinished work that will ensure we coexist equitably is the actual meal. And what has been settled on as the finished work is simply garnish. Hunger pains reawakened the inequities that remain unresolved and fueled the notion that until all inequities are eradicated, believing that the work is finished is the equivalent of dining on a plate full of parsley. Black women, 31 million of whom are the sacred community that call Essence home, are the most malnourished parts of the human family. While we have been consistently fed things to make us less hungry, we haven't always been given access to the nutrients necessary to live healthy and thrive, leaving us to fend for ourselves. The garnish-only meals society has been feeding us have diluted our power through narratives that paint us as a deficient community, essentially a case for charity. Relationships with us have been transactional, superficial, and manipulative based on what those seeking to engage us have as motive. We've been susceptible to macro aggressions, macro assaults, macro insults, macro invalidations in the presence of witnesses who choose to prioritize self-preservation by checking on us later via text and calls in private instead of being ethical bystanders in the moment and interceding with the accountability often deemed cumbersome. Black women, 31 million of whom are the sacred community that call Essence home, are the most irrepressible part of the human family. While we have been consistently fed justification for infinite unsuccessful attempts to diminish our power, we have remained inextinguishable and indignant about the collective and individual purpose we represent globally in our own lives, our homes, and our communities. We have cultivated and prepared our own nourishing meals that are jam-packed with the vitamins that fuel the emotional, physical, and spiritual energy necessary to be the guides and guardians of our own narrative. We are the conscientious chief executives of relationships, love, entertainment, fashion, beauty, lifestyle, health, wealth, career, travel, faith, justice, education, civic engagement, and celebration through gatherings and storytelling in homes and communities. We unapologetically fortify the principles that govern what engagement with us should be, stewarding connections that respect the totality of our strength, prioritize mutuality, and ruminate in the appropriate jurisdiction of womanness. At Essence, we will continue to serve Black women deeply, as we have for more than 50 years, by encouraging and equipping them to fully embrace the power of their roles, leading and standing at the forefront of their lives, homes, and communities. We will stand indignant against the plates full of parsley that exist to lessen us, and we will spotlight and strengthen our position as the preeminent curators of culture. We will support our goals and aspirations by giving frictionless access to the capital and resources necessary to manifest the unmitigated audacity of our personal purpose, and by providing platforms and places for telling stories of our accomplishments and achievements to commemorate our overall dopeness. Essence stands privileged to serve in patronage of no longer dining at tables that offer provisions of parsley that lack the nourishment that sustains us. And we will only accept invitations to dine that offer unpacified provisions that propel our people are perceptive to the prerogative of our power and prioritize participation in our passions as a communal body today and always onward. The next article is titled, The Truth About Black Women and Stress. It's critical that we learn to manage stress and reclaim our mental, physical, and emotional health. Here's why. Black women have a complicated relationship with our superpowers. We will sing along when we hear Karen White's or Alicia Keys' version of Superwoman. Both of those odes to Black girl magic make us feel seen and heard and speak to the sacrifices we make every day. While White proudly proclaimed, "I'm not your superwoman," on her Girl Power R&B classic, Keys seemed for the challenge when she belted out, "Still when I'm a mess, I still put on a vest with an S on my chest. Oh yes, I'm a superwoman." The truth is that Black women can embody both mentalities. Yes, our strength and resilience are admirable qualities, but we can't truly soar if we continuously put the needs of others ahead of our own, both at home and at work. Trying to live up to this unrealistic standard may cause chronic stress, which can affect the whole body and show up symptomatically as irritability, fatigue, headaches, emotional eating, difficulty sleeping, digestive problems, substance abuse, loss of sexual desire, anxiety, frequent colds, or disease. As a Black woman, there is a constant narrative playing in our heads, says Ms. Hall, a mental health counselor in New York City. We worry about how we are perceived, the tone, diction, and pronunciation of our words, the over or under sexualization of our bodies. We worry about maintaining a healthy romantic relationship, navigating a career, our ailing parents, our children, our siblings, and showing up as a good friend. And that does not include our individual needs, our exercise regimen, or the last time we went for a general physical checkup. Black women have unique continuous stressors that increase our risk for a host of chronic health issues, including high rates of hypertension, obesity, diabetes, lupus, preterm birth, and maternal morbidity. Michelle Albert, MD, MPH, Director of the University of California at San Francisco Center for the Study of Adversity and Cardiovascular Disease, says there are daily stressors that disproportionately affect Black women. These include residing in lower socioeconomic status households, serving as caregivers for children as well as elderly relatives, often at the same time, and being more subject to financial stress than women of other races or ethnicities. This chronic stress affects our heart health. In our research, we have found that Black women report higher levels of stress compared to White, Asian, and Hispanic women, explains Albert. And for Black women, ideal cardiovascular health, which includes lifestyle factors like physical activity, your weight, and whether or not you smoke or have diabetes, is mediated by what we call cumulative psychological stress. Albert notes that cumulative psychological stress was not a factor for other women. Our psychological stress is often compounded by racial bias and discrimination, whether perceived or real. We deal with microaggressions and prejudicial treatment at every turn. The coronavirus pandemic also helped to expose the health inequities routinely faced by African Americans, and we are haunted by media images and videos of Black pain and suffering. Systemic racism and health inequities place us in the position of constantly being in survival mode, increasing our risk for heart disease, cancer, and stroke, says Angelica Geacher, Chief Strategy Officer for Black Women's Health Imperative, a national organization dedicated solely to improving the health and wellness of Black women and girls physically, emotionally, and financially. In her research, Shell L. Woods, PhD, RN, developed what she calls the Superwoman Schema, a conceptual framework to better understand how the unique stress and coping experiences of Black women influence our physical and mental health. The Superwoman Schema explains Woods has five characteristics: perceived obligation to present an image of strength, perceived obligation to suppress emotions, perceived obligation to resist help or to resist being vulnerable to others, the motivation to succeed despite limited resources, and prioritization of caregiving over self-care. These traits represent a double-edged sword, explains Woods. It is not necessarily a bad thing to exhibit these characteristics. In fact, strength and motivation to succeed despite limited resources can protect women in certain circumstances. However, emotional suppression and prioritizing caregiving of others while neglecting self-care may be problematic, especially if this becomes a long-term habit. Janine Norris prides herself on being able to do it all. She's a boss, a graduate student, a wife, and a proud mother of two young adults, and her family can count on her to swiftly handle a crisis. Sounds familiar? The 56-year-old is the epitome of a superwoman. You grow up knowing that you're the one who's going to take care of the medical problems, and you're the one who's going to take care of the family problems, says Norris. You're the responsible one. Not that anybody said it, you just grew into it. And then it manifests itself in your work and everything about you, to the point where I wouldn't even know how to allow somebody else to do it. The Baltimore native says this take charge behavior was modeled by her mother, who raised three children as a young single mother and put herself through college. But the need to take care of everyone else while neglecting herself leaves Norris feeling exhausted, unable to relax even when she's on vacation, and unable to commit to healthy coping habits like exercise and eating a balanced diet. Instead, she usually operates on only a few hours of sleep, binges on fast food, and is constant with having just a half hour of downtime to herself each day. But being an essential worker during the COVID-19 pandemic was a wake-up call. I think this is probably the first time that I've admitted I can't do it all and that I don't want to do it all, says Norris, who is a nursing home administrator and registered nurse. It was an eye-opener in the sense that I saw people who couldn't see their loved ones for a year, more or less, and I saw people dying. I saw people wanting to quit their jobs because they didn't want to be affected by it. I try to be whatever I need to be for the family members, for the residents, for the staff. And nobody stopped and said, hey, you don't have to do this. We have people to do it. But I'm running around in circles. At the end of the day, I'm drained, but I get up and do it again the next day. To break her cycle of chronic stress, Norris vows to delegate more responsibilities at work, take days off even if it means missing out on a bonus, unplug during her next vacation and work out with a personal trainer to blow off steam and get in shape the healthy way. In the past, she would do a fad diet to lose weight for a special occasion. As I get older, I think, what did you do all this for? She says, did you enjoy your family? Did you enjoy your home? Did you take care of your health? Time catches up and you look up and it's like, what was it all for? Ayanna Abrams, a licensed clinical psychologist in Atlanta, says it's time to throw off the superwoman cape that has cloaked and silenced us due to racism and sexism. To help us disrobe, she offers a few tips. 1. Remember your humaneness and allow yourself to grow and learn new things. 2. You are not required to take care of people in order to be loved. And 3. You deserve rest, not as a reward for how much you have worked, but because it is a natural state of replenishment and is necessary to function well in life. Chronic stress is associated with depression and anxiety, yet many of us don't feel safe seeking professional help. For the longest time, I thought showing stress was weakness, a sign that I could not manage, says Hall. When I put myself back into therapy, I learned I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't think anyone could meet my needs to the degree of care and concern I met for others. Abrams acknowledges that committing to therapy takes courage and a willingness to be vulnerable. Many Black people are not ready to do that work, she says. Vulnerability can be scary because it requires you to see yourself fully and practice non-judgment things that we are not taught and that come with unpleasant emotions. Adds Abrams, on the other side of the courage to be vulnerable is a deeper connection with ourselves and with others. I absolutely encourage Black women to engage in any practice that brings them more clarity, peace, and power in their voice. Practicing self-care is a step toward lessening our chronic stress and integrating our emotional and physical well-being. This can come in the form of prayer or meditation, journaling, cooking, curling up with a good book, having a heart-to-heart talk with a good friend, or taking a nature walk. The websites Therapy for Black Girls and the Black Women's Health Imperative Stress Test and Emotional Wellness Toolkit are helpful resources. Most Black women are not afforded the privilege of rest and self-care because an active, almost daily decision in our fight to thrive in this country, explains Geeter, who led Atlanta's COVID-19 prevention, mitigation, and preparedness responses as the city's first chief health officer. But when a Black woman chooses herself, she gives other Black women the courage to do the same. The next article is about Essence contributors. Rachel Davis, our senior experimental editor, is all about transforming innovative storytelling concepts into compelling cross-platform content and thought-provoking programming. She believes in the power of the arts and in the role they play in shifting global cultural dynamics for the better. The proud grad of an HBCU, the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, penned her regular top 10 column, highlighting topics that should be on our radar, even as she's focused on coverage of this year's Essence Festival of Culture. Morrell Hollis saw his career explode when he became the grooming consultant and makeup artist for the entire roster of Bad Boy Entertainment. This led to decades of iconic looks and videos for the likes of Mary J. Blige, Faith Evans, and Usher. He is also responsible for highlighting the beauty of celebs such as Yara Shahidi, Naomi Campbell, Regina King, Jennifer Hudson, and Wendy Williams. For this issue, he was the makeup artist of Zeewe Does It and the groomer for Yahya Abdul-Mateen in Summer Screen Kings. The forward-thinking creative has also partnered with doctors at Luvanya Beauty on a vegan skincare line, in keeping with his passion for healthy, flawless skin. Brad O, a celebrity photographer, proudly notes on his website that he was born and raised in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, where Prince is from. Now based in Brooklyn, when he's not working for publications such as Vogue, GQ, People, Billboard, Fortune, The New York Times, and Rolling Stone, this avid adventurer, cook, and wine guy is busy as ever. His assignment for us this month had the gifted lensman capturing beautiful images of not one, but both of our cover stars. He clearly joins the purple one in the posse of talents coming out of the Minneapolis St. Paul area. Issa Rae is no stranger to Essence. With her unique flair and infectious sense of humor, Rae first caught our attention with her award-winning web series and the accompanying New York Times bestseller, The Misadventures of the Awkward Black Girl. She created and stars in the HBO hit Insecure, for which she has received multiple Emmy and Golden Globe noms. Rae made her film debut in the acclaimed drama The Hate U Give, and in 2020, she starred in Netflix's rom-com The Lovebirds and the HBO drama Coastal Elites. We are grateful that despite having so much on her plate, she found time to interview Jasmine Sullivan for Jasmine's Tale, Not So Awkward After All. Cheryl Nance Nash, a freelance journalist, loves to write about the intersection of travel, history, wellness, art, and culture. This happy wanderer feeds her adventurous spirit with cool excursions from jumping off a cliff into a blue hole in the Bahamas, to soaring in a hot air balloon in the Arizona desert, to parasailing in Maui. In Hit the Road, she offers tips for making your next family getaway enjoyable and hassle-free. Her work has appeared on cntraveler.com, Four Doors, The Daily Beast, Newsweek.com, and Global Traveler, among others. The next article is titled Summer Sounds. During a recent morning walk, I listened to the Still Processing podcast as it honored Before I Let Go by Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. A flood of memories came rushing in as I thought about the black brilliance of this block party staple. Over the years, I've seen throngs of black folks dance to the anthem at the Essence Festival of Culture presented by Coca-Cola in New Orleans. This year, EFOC returns virtually for two jam-packed weekends, allowing audiences to reveal from the safety of their homes. Cover star Jasmine Sullivan headlines from her Philadelphia hometown. Other performers include DJ Khalid and friends, Neo, Michelle Williams, Kurt Franklin, and D. Nice, with appearances by Mary J. Blige, Angela Yee, Big Frida, and more. For those of you who are vaxxed, waxed, and ready for a faraway adventure, look no further than our Know Before You Go Travel Safely Guide for everything you need to satisfy your wanderlust. Plus, we have tons of get back into the street style ideas, from must-have essentials by black women-owned companies to color-popping looks from late-night TV host Ziwi and British star Wumi Mosaku. One thing I'm ready for as public events continue to open: watching a blockbuster in a movie theater. While horror flicks are normally a hard pass, I'm soaring up my nerve for Yahaya and Candyman. The New Orleans-born, Oakland-raised leading man is our summer box office king. He reigns alongside a few other fellas who will keep us glued to our screens. Get me a fan quick so I can cool down from their collective heat. The next article is titled, What I'm Loving Now. Number 1, reading. After streaming 80 episodes of the 2015 series Celia on Peacock, I became obsessed with the Afro-Cuban legend Celia Cruz. Up next, this captivating memoir of her life. Number 2, visiting. I've vacationed in Haiti since 2007, and I discover something new each time. In July, my family and I will revisit the historic sites of Citadelle and Sanssouci Palace in Millau. Number 3, sipping. Just in time for warm nights, I was gifted a box of Vinos from Black-owned brand. And the first bottle I'm opening is La Fête du Rose. The next article is titled Man-Friendly Favorites. These are 5 treatments that experts say are gaining popularity among the guys. Laser hair removal. Given that black skin is more predisposed to the adverse effects of shaving, many brothers are ditching their razors and finding a permanent solution with laser hair removal. One of the main issues that black men are concerned about is razor bumps and cross-textured skin because of shaving, says Alabama-based dermatologist Corey L. Hartman. Lasers help even out skin tone and eliminate the need for shaving. Radiofrequency microneedling. Skin tightness is a priority for both men and women. We want to make sure we maintain or achieve that strong jawline and chin, Hartman says. Radiofrequency microneedling can firm up skin on the neck and face, keeping it nice and tight. Hair treatments and transplants. It's been rumored that some black male celebrities have received hair transplants to restore hair loss at the crown. According to Michelle Henry, a dermatologist in New York City, their influence has encouraged others to do the same. A lot of black men are seeking out hair treatments, hair transplants, and platelet-rich plasma treatments to restore their hair, she says. It's one of the top things that they come in for. Dermal fillers, adding volume to the face. Dermal fillers can help create a more manly appearance. Men might realize that they're not as masculine on the lower half of the face as they may like, Henry says. I'm seeing some men getting work on the lower areas of the face for a more chiseled or symmetrical look. Botox. It's the most popular injectable. This easy treatment dramatically reduces the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles by temporarily weakening or paralyzing the muscles in the treated area. They call it the gateway drug because it really does open your mind to the possibilities of what injectables can do, says Hartman. It is also a very simple procedure that can be done conservatively. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.